Somebody finally spoke the truth, and are you sitting down? It was a journalist. I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, and this episode of Right Angles brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Well, gentlemen, a journalist, of course, was Lara Logan from CBS. She's a foreign correspondent at CBS, and she was actually doing a podcast, which isn't, like, legitimate. So we shouldn't put too much stock in this. It's not like she was on network TV doing this.
She's just on YouTube.
Like on Google
Any
Play
idiot can get on
and
YouTube.
Apple, whatever they call the Apple version of that. And so she's doing this podcast with a guy whose name is Mike Ritland, and he has a podcast called Mike Drop. A former Navy SEAL is interviewing her, and she is quoted as saying this, and I'd like to read this over my shoulder here. She's talking about the imbalance in political affiliation in the journalism profession, and she says, where is it? Here we go. You've got Breitbart and Fox News and a few others, and from there on you have CBS, ABC, NBC, Huffington Post, Politico, whatever, all of them. And what she means is they're all to the left, and then there's this little kind of tiny segment to the right. And she's also saying that she would be upset if it was all on the right and just this little segment on the left. Basically, her point is that, and I love this quote, if it doesn't match real life, something's wrong. Like, if their coverage doesn't represent the broad scale of opinions. Now, Stephen Green, she specifically goes after journalists for their coverage of President Trump. Not that she's defending President Trump, but she says there's no gray. It's all one way. Yeah. The coverage is. First of all, let me ask you, what do you think of a journalist who would come out and publicly say such things? And secondly, does she have a point?
Well, of course she has a point, and we're not allowed to make noose jokes. But yeah, this was serious career suicide, which I think isn't that the phrase she used?
Well, actually, she said it's professional suicide.
Professional suicide, yeah. So same thing, isn't it? You know what occurred to me when you were doing your intro, Scott? If I'm a SEAL Team 6 guy and I am interviewing her, the thing that has to be going through his brain is, man, I wish me and about two or three of my buddies had been there when those jihadis assaulted this fine woman. Hmm. Things would have turned out a little differently, I think, that day.
By the way, we don't know which SEAL team he was on unless former Vice President Biden has called you and told you.
I'm sorry. I spoke out of turn there. You're absolutely right. It's just, I read so much about those guys that it gets stuck in your brain.
Yeah.
So that if I were a former SEAL team member of indeterminate number, as we now say. That aside, I think the really telling detail in this whole story is this. She says that coming out and speaking the truth about the left-wing media is career suicide, and it is. Anytime a journalist sort of outs themselves as being right-wing, then they get shunted to Fox News, YouTube, whatever, but their big days are over. On the other hand, you take somebody like a Dave Weigel or a Jen Rubin, or I guess you could say some of these guys that are at the Bulwark right now, that reveal themselves after a career, or at least a career starter of presenting themselves as being libertarian or conservative, to make a name for themselves, because libertarians and conservatives are starved for those viewpoints on in the mainstream media. We just don't get them. And so these people, they make a name for themselves with this smaller audience, and then having done that, they then turn their back on that, reveal themselves for the right-wing or the left-wing jerks that they always were, and that's when they achieve real professional fame and fortune. Mm-hmm. And so you come out as a lefty, it's a career enhancement. You come out as a righty, it's professional suicide. And that more than anything else she could have done or said on this podcast or anywhere else really reveals how strong the bias is in the mainstream media.
Yeah, she actually compares it to if you've ever gone to Israel and seen the Wailing Wall, and there's like this little area where women are allowed to pray, and then the vast majority of it is occupied by men. She said the imbalance is that stark that you see it that she sees it that way in her own profession. Bill Whittle, she also talked about the way journalism is done and really slammed the reporters who are using single source stories, often anonymous source stories, that they're government sources. sources, you know, that are not, they're not revealing their identity. And in her terms, and I'm going to ask our editor to bleep me on this, but in her terms, she says, that's not journalism, that's horse.
She has a fine nose for fertilizer. There's a lot to say here. Well, first of all, as we've all mentioned by now, it's, we keep referring to as a journalist when the actual term we're looking for is former journalist. And I find it a couple things about this interesting and sad, and maybe perhaps hopeful. But once again, as in the case of just a few other examples of journalists who have actually gotten to the point where it's like my personal ethics now outweigh my professional career. That's a brave thing to do. I've seen it with conservative actors and other people in show business out here. And, you know, I don't keep my head down as far as the political opinions go, but I know a number of people who do, and they feel very guilty about it. And I say to them, look, this is your livelihood. This is what you do for a living. This is your family. This is what you went to school for. This is your life dream that you're giving up. There's not a trivial thing here. So when your ethics are strong enough to overcome that, you've got to expect that you're dealing with somebody with some real moral courage. Pathetic to say, though, it is in America today. The thing about this, Scott, the reason that people like this are especially damaging to the left is because of two things. One of them is they're inside the machine, so they have the credibility of saying, no, this is how it works at CBS or ABC or whatever the case may be. And strangely enough, the credibility that forces them to resign is also the credibility that follows them out the door in terms of some of the accusations that they made. Now, I know she hasn't resigned, but she'll find out that she resigned probably tomorrow. But the much more important thing is this. The left has a strategy for dealing with people that are trying to tell the truth in the face of this overwhelming headwind of echo chamber selection of what the American people need to hear for their own good, obviously. What stories they should hear, what stories they should hear an awful lot of, what stories they shouldn't hear, in order for them to make the right decision when it comes time to voting. It's all in our best interest. And so what they do is, when there's an alternative news source, they put like a cyst around it. You know, if you get like a significant piece of like shrapnel or something in the skin, under the skin, what the body will do is it'll make like this protective sort of a hard case around it. And that's what they've done with Fox News and what they've done with Drudge Report and Breitbart. Essentially, what happens is, hey, I heard that Hillary Clinton had a bunch of like hundreds of thousands of classified emails on her own personal server, which was kept in a bathroom in New York or something. Where'd you hear that? I heard it on Fox News. Oh, Fox News. That's the cyst, right? Oh, Fox. Yeah. Everybody knows that Breitbart's spies. Everybody. It doesn't matter if they have video footage. Fox News. Yeah. We're going to end the conversation now. They end the conversation now because they don't want to have the conversation because they will lose their identity or their assets, one or the other. But in any event, this woman has violated these two really serious tenets. And what she's done in the eyes of most people is, most people on the left, is she's thrown away the gift of a lifetime, which is not just the gift of being a journalist or even a TV journalist, but she's given away the right to tell people what to think. And what kind of power-hungry, you know, control freak left-winger could even imagine such a thing?
You know, I know a lot of us on the right believe that the mainstream media only hires reporters who have extreme leftist views, and that that's something that they screen for, and they have a litmus test to determine that. I don't think it's like that. Actually, I think that they would say they don't hire people with extreme political views. They only hire normal people. Mm-hmm. And the normal people are the people who are like them. So if I go in for an interview with CBS News, which I never have and have no aspirations to do, I would stick out because they would think that I had extremist views when in fact I just have views like they have views. And so it may be that there's somebody behind the curtain rubbing his hands together and saying, where can we get another progressive young journalist? But in general, it's the water they swim in. They're fish in water and they don't taste the water. They're just, that's what it's like in their world. And so that's why we've got what we've got. And frankly, that's why entities like this, and it sounds a little self-serving, but there are others like us that are essentially funded by people who want to listen to them and who want to circulate this kind of stuff. This, I think, is the future of opinion journalism, if you want to call it that, because at least it's people being open about their views and other people voting with their dollars to say, yes, I want to hear more of that. Bring that on. And so, you know, when people sign up to be members here, that's what they're doing. When people, you know, pay for a podcast or sign up to be, you know, at the Daily Wire or something like that, or Glenn Beck's entity now, whatever they're calling that, the Blaze TV. All of that, I think, is the most salutary thing that I've seen in a long time in journalism, because it's the listeners, the readers, the viewers themselves making those decisions. And one final thought on this matter. Lara Logan was, you know, walking through this square as a reporter in Egypt and was physically molested, sexually abused by a crowd of men who had as little regard for women as they do for feces in the street, and felt like it was their right to do as they chose with her. She was not a person whose opinions had to be regarded. She was not a person whose life was sanctified or holy or important. She was a piece of meat, and they treated her that way. And without going too far into that analogy, I think that that is what has become of the viewer and the reader and the listener of American news media. That's what they are to them. They are just somebody whose opinions don't matter, to whom we can do as we please. And if it doesn't work out for their benefit, well, that's not my problem. And I think that we need to fight that movement with every last fiber of our being. And that's why I'm part of this enterprise. And that's why I think that the members at BillWhittle.com who support this are doing this too. And so for those members and on behalf of them, and for Stephen Green and Bill Whittle, I'm Scott Ott. Thank you.